One unmistakable fact about life is that time moves along fast. I don't know about you, but I'm constantly amazed at how quickly time flies by. I remember when I was younger, I would hear people that I thought were really old, you know, like 40, or even older than that, and they would say, the older you get, the faster time goes. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Now that I'm up there, yeah, I get it, because it does. It is amazing how quickly time goes. We're all getting older. It's an unavoidable truth. There's just no escaping it. Former President Dwight Eisenhower was once asked, how do you like growing old? And his reply was, well, I prefer it to the alternative. And I think most of us would probably agree with that. We'd rather stick around here on Earth at least a little while longer. But aging presents some definite challenges to us. I was reminded of this when I came across this list this last week. You know you're getting older when your dreams are reruns. The stewardess offers you coffee, tea, or milk of magnesia. You sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. Everything hurts, and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You sink your teeth into a nice juicy steak and they stay there. This is the one I like the best. A pretty girl walks by and your pacemaker raises the garage door across the street. Yeah. On the internet this past week, I found a list of hymns for the aging. Precious Lord, take my hand and help me up. It is well with my soul, but my back hurts. Nobody knows the trouble I have seeing. Just a slower walk with thee. Go tell it on the mountain and speak up. Give me that old-timer's religion. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I've forgotten where I parked. Can you relate to any of those? Maybe you're too young. Singer-songwriter Woody Guthrie described it this way. Since I've retired from life's competition, each day is filled with complete repetition. Each morning I get up and dust off my wits, open the paper and read the obits. If my name is not there, I know I'm not dead, so I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. How do I know my youth is all spent? My get up and go has got up and went. Now we can chuckle at these lines, but the effects of aging can be serious and not without pain. Physically, the aging body puts on the brakes. You begin to huff and puff when you used to rip and zip. You prefer to sit more than to stand, to watch more than to do, to forget your birthday rather than to remember it. Mentally, the aging brain longs for relief. You can't recall things like you used to. You don't respond like you ought to. You think more about yesterday and tomorrow and less about today. Emotionally, you undergo strange fears and feelings that you once swore would never occur to me. Things like being negative, critical, and downright ornery at times. Being reluctant to let those younger take on more responsibility. Feeling unwanted and in the way. Feeling guilty over past mistakes and wrong decisions. Feeling forgotten, unloved, lonely, and passed by. Feeling threatened by sounds, by speed, by financial uncertainty, and by disease. And resisting the need to adjust and adapt. It's all part of getting older. All a part of aging. And it all gets a little worse as we see the memory of those days when we were once so very efficient, so very capable, so very needed, and so fulfilled. We look in the mirror and we're forced to admit that the fingers of age have begun to scratch their marks on the house of clay. And it's hard to believe that our twilight years can be of any worth. You know, we're tempted to agree with Ecclesiastes 12:1, talks about the days of trouble that come and the years approach when you say, I find no pleasure in them. I know of some older folks that if they were asked that same question as Dwight Eisenhower, they would not have the same answer. Getting older is not necessarily a pleasant experience. I've heard more than one senior citizen say, they call these the golden years. It's tough, it's a challenge. But I would suggest to you it doesn't have to be that way. Now there are some things we cannot avoid. Our bodies do slow down, break down. Our mind is not as clear as it used to be. These things are going to happen as we age. But I think an awful lot of aging, as we experience it in our culture, is more of a mindset than it is a physical reality. You go back into the Bible times and you see that their men of God served Him faithfully throughout their lives. Now, I understand lifespans were a lot longer back then than they are now, but you still see people being used by God even when their contemporaries thought they were washed up. Think of Abraham and Sarah. There's no way they can have a child at 190. Moses wasn't really used by God until he was 80. You see these over and over again. Samuel was quite old, and he established a school of prophets to carry on after he was gone. And then there was Caleb. Man, we've been looking at the last four Sundays. And as we wrap up our study of him today, we're going to see that Caleb maintained courage in spite of aging. We saw last week that he was going to have to wait 45 years to experience the promises of God being fulfilled in his life. Not because of anything he had done, but because of what his nation had done, the people around him. And God said, Caleb, I am going to bring you into the land, but you're going to have to wait. And that wait ended up being 4.5 decades long. You know, that didn't affect Caleb. In the passage it was read earlier out of Joshua 14, he says, here I am, 85 years old, and I'm just as strong now as I was then. He was not ready to sit back and retire. He was ready for the next challenge. Bring it on, was his motto. I like the question that was once asked by Satchel Paige, that ageless philosopher who also threw a baseball. He said once, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? Think about that for a minute. If you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be? In other words, how would you act? We have it so ingrained in us that when you're 40 years old, this happens. And when you're 50 years old, this happens. And when you're 65, this happens. And when you're 80, if you make it that long, this is the way it is. But if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you act? He had another saying that went like this. Age is a case of mind over matter. If you don't mind, it don't matter. It is. It's a lot in your head. And our world has convinced us, and especially our society has convinced us, that once you're old, you're useless. You're dried up. You're just a burden on society. So kind of stay out of the way and let the younger people take over. Now, there is something to be said for preparing the next generation to follow on after us, but it doesn't mean we are stuck in a corner somewhere with nothing to contribute to society or to the church. Now, again, the last time that we saw Caleb, he was 40 years old, ready to take on the promised land, ready to take on the giants. But the vast majority of his people said, "No, we can't do it." And God said, "Fine, then you won't. You'll spend the next 40 years in the wilderness until you all die, except Caleb and Joshua. They're the only ones that had faith in me, and they're going to see the land." So when we get to Joshua 14, and this is after all the major battles have been fought. Now they're ready to settle the land. And Joshua is appropriating the land. By the way, here's something else about Caleb. Caleb and Joshua were both spies that went into the land of Canaan, brought back a positive report. "We can do this." The people voted otherwise, but God said, "I'm going to preserve you too. You're going to experience my promises because you were faithful to me." Joshua ended up being made leader of the Israelite nation after Moses died. Caleb could have looked at that as a snub and said, "Well, fine. You know, I was right there too. Why wasn't I chosen?" You don't see any of that. You don't see any bitterness. You don't see any resentment. In fact, it seems that Caleb and Joshua got along pretty well. In that passage in Joshua 14, you get a sense of camaraderie there. You know, you see these two old guys, I'm sure they were both in their 80s by now, and yeah, you remember when we were up there. Yeah. They had a good relationship because Caleb chose not to become bitter or resentful when Joshua was given a position that he wasn't. That says a lot about his character. And we're going to see again that Caleb displays courage in spite of his aging. And there's three ways he did that. I think we can learn from him, from his example. First, Caleb remained affirmative throughout the years in the wilderness. He had been a positive, goal-oriented person from the days he had encouraged the nation of Israel to take the promised land. While everyone else was thinking of an excuse, Caleb was saying, "With God, we can do this." And as he aged, he didn't change. Notice in chapter 14, verse 6. "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought back a report according to my convictions.'" That's very important. Not only did he report the facts, but he also reported according to his convictions, according to his faith. "But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive these 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day." Literally, it's give me this mountain. You know anything about mountains? They're the hardest to attack. Going uphill is always more difficult militarily. "Give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there." Those are the giants. "And their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out," just as he said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. I imagine he did that with a bit of a chuckle, don't you? "Yeah, Caleb, you go for it. You do that. I'm sure the Lord will give you the victory." So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron had used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who is the greatest man among the Anakites. He wasn't just going up against any giant. He was going up against the best. And then the land had rest from war. See, Caleb made some decisions back when he was 40 that affected him when he was 85. The convictions that he had then, the decisions that he made then, made a difference decades later. He didn't become bitter. He didn't become angry with his fellow Israelites for delaying his inheritance. He remained affirmative. He remained positive. He knew God was going to fulfill that promise. And even if it took another 40 plus years to do it, it was going to happen. He maintained a positive attitude. Remember the Bible's definition of faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence of what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. The two key words there are confidence and assurance. We can know without a doubt that what God says is true. His promises will be kept. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. Meaning every promise God makes, He fulfills. Do we believe that? Caleb did. He maintained that positive attitude. And this isn't just, you know, whistling in the dark. I'm not talking about that. It was grounded on the promises of God. There was substance to his faith. It's not just wishful thinking. Now, I know a lot has been made about the power of positive thinking, as though positive thinking in and of itself can make things happen. And that's just not true. I mean, you can get up on the roof of this building and have all the positive feelings you want that you can fly, but if you jump off, I guarantee you there's going to be a crash. All the positive thinking in the world is not going to make you fly. You have to have positive thinking in something of substance. You have to have faith in something that's true. I know some of these guys on TV will say, have faith in your faith. That's like pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. Try it sometime. It don't work. It's not about your faith is what your faith is in. And when your faith is in God, when your faith is in His promises, then you can have that confidence. You can have that assurance. Not because of how great my faith is, but how great He is. That's the key element of faith. But how many older people do we find that stay positive? Negativity is often a sign of aging as our gray hair and wrinkles. Unfortunately, as we age, we tend to get more negative. I remember my great Aunt Etta on my dad's side. And for years and years, when we would go and visit her down in Pennsylvania, we'd see her and we'd say, hey, Aunt Etta, how are you doing? She'd give us an organ recital. Oh, this hurts and that isn't so good. And she'd always conclude with, I don't think I'll be around much longer. And I remember at about age 15 or 16, I asked my mom one time, I said, you know, every time, all these years we come, you know, as long as I can remember, she's been saying she isn't going to be around much longer. My mom said she's been saying that since I met her. She lived to be 98. Not going to be around much longer. But when we have that negative attitude, oh yeah, you may live to a long age, but is it a good old age? Or do we become bitter? On his 75th birthday, General Douglas MacArthur wrote, in the heart is a recording chamber, receiving messages of hope that keep you young. Get pessimistic and you grow old. And I think the latter half of that verse is often true. When we lose our positive thinking, we lose that affirmative mindset, pessimism turns us bitter, sour, and old. Not Caleb, though. He remained affirmative in his belief that God would fulfill his promises. And that kept him through those long years of waiting. And I'd suggest it kept him young, too. Caleb also remained active through his time in life. He wasn't one to just sit back and do nothing. Notice in verses 10 and 11, "So here I am, 85 years old, still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to do battle as I was then." He never lost that spark. He stayed active. He didn't waste away in those years in the wilderness. He was ready to go, even 45 years later. I remember when I lived in the state of Virginia, reading a billboard that said, "You don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing." There's a lot of truth to that statement. And again, it goes back to our mindset. If we tell ourselves we can't do something, pretty soon we can't. But the more you say, "Yeah, I can do this," and you push yourself and you remain active, you're going to keep yourself younger than your age might indicate. How many people have you heard of that work 30, 40, 50 years, retire, 2-3 months later they're dead? You come to find out that after all those years of work and activity, when they retired, they sat in their recliner and didn't get out of it. They stopped living. What happens? For some, that's what retirement consists of. But when you stop living, what's the result? I believe we can have our greatest moments in life at an age most people would consider over the hill. Consider some of these individuals that accomplished great things at an age most people would not expect. Hall of Famer Ted Williams was 42 years old, hit a home run his last time at bat. Golda Meir was 71 years old when she became Prime Minister of Israel. Benjamin Franklin was a framer of the U.S. Constitution, and he was 81. And playwright George Bernard Shaw, who's credited with that quote I mentioned earlier about "you don't stop playing because you get old," he was 94 when one of his plays was first produced. So at 85, Caleb is involved in the greatest adventure he'd ever known. Israel was taking the land God had promised, and Caleb wanted to be part of it. And that tells us something about serving God. We never retire from God's service. You can retire from a job, but you never retire from serving God. And whatever age you are, and I would even say whatever physical limitations you might be experiencing, you can still serve God. There is a place for you in God's kingdom. He wants you in His service. You say, how do I know that? There's an absolute foolproof test. Take a breath in, let it out, you passed. If you're breathing, God wants to use you, regardless of anything else. Because if He was done with you, He'd take you home. So age is never an excuse for not serving God. Caleb didn't let that get in the way. He was going to work until the Lord called him home. I like how Chuck Swindoll puts it. While his peers were yawning, Caleb was yearning. They were ready to sit back and retire, and he's like, "Let me at him." He remained active, and that kept him young. And then finally, Caleb remained ambitious throughout his life. I mean, what would most of us ask for at the age 85? Yeah? "Oh, Moses, Joshua, give me some mountain cabin with a nice view and some place where I can sit in my rocking chair all day." And who would have criticized Caleb for wanting to take it easy? But no, Caleb said, I want this mountain. I want the giants. Give me this challenge so I can prove not what I can do, but what God can do. Not one time do you see Caleb saying, I can do this. He's always saying, the Lord can do this. He's going to do it through me. And this wasn't some sort of dementia or senility setting in. His strength was in the Lord. He knew that God would never fail him. I came across something this last week that I admit is will set you back a second when you first hear it. But hear me out. Bruce Larson writes in a book entitled, There's a Lot More to Health Than Not Being Sick. A life of safety is no life at all, whatever your vocation. Still, we are programmed from an early age to start providing with a safe and secure future. Through pension funds and retirement benefits, we work toward removing all risk from our lives by the time we're 65. Yet in the societies where sociologists have studied, where people live to be 100 or more years old, they find there's no special treatment for the aged. Scientists who have studied these societies have found that they have nothing in common in terms of climate, diet, geography, or lifestyle. But in all these places, the inhabitants are expected to live normal lives with no cushion for safety. They continue to work, tend fields, keep shops until they die at 100 plus. This is what he concludes. I'm convinced that God never invented old age. Death is from God, but old age is man's invention, and it is a cultural blight in our lifetime. Key word for the last 2 years has been safe, safety. We've got to be safe. We've got to play it safe. You show me somewhere in Scripture that says play it safe. Now, I'll show you a lot of places where God will keep you safe. And that is a promise God gives. But nowhere does he say, play it safe. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. I don't believe he does it today. You don't see Caleb playing it safe. You see him ambitious. I want to continue to serve God, whatever that capacity might be. Now, I'm not saying you should be reckless. I'm not saying be foolish. What I'm saying, though, is when we think that we are in charge of our own safety, when we think that we are in control of our lives to that point, we limit what God can do through us. When we take ourselves out of the action and say, no, I'm going to preserve myself, we miss out on a lot of what life has to offer to us. I'll give you a personal example. You're going to have to take this by faith. But I played football my senior year in college. It was the first year I'd ever played legitimate football. We played flag football and all that stuff. But this was helmets and pads and go knock somebody's head off kind of football. And I'll be honest, I was scared. I didn't want to get hurt. And so I always held back. I wanted to play it safe. Oh, I'd run my routes, I'd catch the passes, but, you know, I wasn't about to lower my shoulder and run into somebody. I mean, that's crazy. You know what happened that year? I didn't get to play very much. I sat the bench almost the entire year. I've still got my jersey hanging in the closet, and it is in pristine condition. Now, I didn't get hurt. I guess you could say that was one goal that was met. But if that's the goal going in, why bother? There were a lot of people sitting in the stands that didn't get hurt either. And I missed out on a lot because I wanted to play it safe. And what I'm saying is, if that's our attitude in life, if our number one goal is my safety, you're probably not going to be used by God to the extent He wants to use you. Caleb certainly wasn't that way. He was one that wanted to serve God to the very end. Vance Havner, an old-time Southern preacher of the past generation, wrote this: "Retirement age is supposed to mean that I should sit in a rocking chair, wait for my Social Security check, and reminisce about the good old days. I have no thought of retiring. I would say with Caleb, give me this mountain. I'm not asking for molehills. Old soldiers need not fade away. I have asked, like Hezekiah, for an extension of time, like Jabez for an enlargement of territory, like Elisha for an endowment of power." Caleb did not suffer like 10 frightened spies from a grasshopper complex. Too many cowards are cringing before the giants of Anak. God give us Calebs for looking for mountains to conquer. I say amen. If God is giving us life and breath, and we believe that He is going to guide us until the day He calls us home, let's get out there and live. Let's get out there and serve. And yes, let's take some risks. Let's risk our reputation. Let's risk our friendships. Let's risk the approval of others in order to live for God. A life of safety is no life at all. One last point about Caleb. If you look into the next chapter of Joshua, chapter 15, verses 13 through 19, you see Caleb providing for the next generation. Some of his daring faith had rubbed off on his son-in-law, Othniel, who would later become one of the judges of Israel. Caleb's faith also touched his daughter, for she had the faith to ask her father for a field and then for springs of water to irrigate the land. That's something women didn't do back then. She inherited some of her father's guts, I would say. And I think the older generation needs to provide an example for the younger generation, to encourage them to trust in the Lord, to follow Him wholeheartedly. Nothing held back. No reservations. I'm giving it all to the Lord. Say, well, that's nice. That happened a long time ago. Oh, yeah, that kind of thing doesn't happen anymore. Well, maybe it doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't mean it can't happen anymore. Maybe it doesn't happen anymore because we don't let it. We're too scared. We're too afraid that something might happen to us, and so we're not going to serve the Lord in the way He wants us to. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that Caleb followed is the God we follow today. He has not changed. And I think of that song from our call to worship. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And the truth is, He does. He is there. He has not changed. And He is calling all of us, men and women, young and old, to follow Him and to serve Him. My challenge is, what is our answer to that call today? Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for examples like Caleb. Individuals who maintained their trust in You throughout the years and served You wholeheartedly all their lives. I pray that You would raise up men and women of all ages from our church family that would have Caleb's mindset, remaining affirmative, remaining active, remaining ambitious for You. And we look forward to the great victories You will win through us when we are willing to be used by You. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen.